As you all very well know, the Bible is about the family of God. It starts out talking about the Father, Father God. We've talked many times how we get to the place that we're talking about family. God created one man. He was supposed to be the father of all, humanly speaking. And he was supposed to institute or bring mankind to the submission, the honor, the praise, and the elevation of God, his father. He failed. And we see that God selects another man to be able to institute or to bring about what he wants in the thing that he instituted as the first institution, the family, Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where we get the thing that is the family. Somebody say, Tim, I don't get that. You just make the family fit. No, I don't make the family fit. I remind us that there is a family of God, because Jesus talks explicitly that there will be some that will see people sitting and eating in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they themselves be cast out. We understand that Abraham has a seed. That seed is singular. It is Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. But in this book of Ezekiel, we got some problems with the family. And this family, in this 17th verse, we see that the family that's reprobate will be judged or purified. I should have had "and" to put on there, and or purified. Do that for me if you feel like it. Because it's going to be purified. There are some people that are in the family that are about to be cut off in this passage. If they don't get their minds right, they'll be cut off. And that's part of the purification. Those that will not change will be cut off, and what will remain will be those that are purified. Meat for the master's use. Do you feel a little bit of that in 2 Timothy, where it talks about in a good house? 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's not only vessels of gold and of silver, but there are some also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, if a man therefore purify himself from these, then shall he be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use. And let's go ahead and get into this word. It's so pretty. And I hope you all are ready to get into some word today. I told you all a little early, I feel like getting on my hind legs and preaching. But I'm going to try to hold back so that we can get the thrust. Because one of the things is that I know what I want to say pretty much. But I might say it too fast. So what I want to do is help you to understand is what's going on in the mind of God, what's going to be going on in the mind of the people, and we also need to understand what is going on when we look and see what God has shown us in the New Testament, as we call it, that coincides with this. And take me to verse 17, and let's roll with it.
And the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying,
I want to, every now and then, just see, I'm holding back now. This passage started with the word of the Lord coming in the 22nd chapter here, and it ended with the people getting their inheritance in verse 16 when we talked about the 16th verse. Now in 17, it says the word of the Lord came to me again, which means God was not through with what he had to say. That's what that means more.
Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass, and tin, and iron, and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silver.
Here the family, the house of Israel, at this particular time, they felt at one time we covered that we are the pot, and the good meat is in the pot. So in Jerusalem, we are safe here. Well, God is taking it from the analogy of the meat in the pot. Now he's gone to metallurgy. Well, let's use another word, to the metals that are in mined in the earth. He is saying that that house of Israel that should have been silver to me, or that should have been gold to me, They have become, something happened to them that they became, they were not always this way. They became dross. They became reprobate. That's what the Bible is talking about in Romans chapter 1 when it said God give people over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He does not give them over to a reprobate mind when they are righteous and they are godly. He gives them over to do what you're going to do. If you become reprobate, you will not listen. You do not like to retain me in your knowledge, according to Romans chapter 1. You want to live your own life. You want to order your family by your own dictates, what your mama did, what your daddy did, what your church say, and you don't care about the blessed word of God, and you're reprobate. I turn you over to a reprobate mind. Here we see in Ezekiel, God said, this nation has become reprobate. Read it again because I feel good now.
Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross.
The key in this part is right here. They weren't that way to themselves, Andrina. They were that to themselves. They thought they were all of that. But I say that the family is going to get an assessment by God. See that point three? It's going to be judged by God. It's going to be judged. So the family, to me, is reprobate. Here's what I want you to understand. That's the only one that matters. When you're reprobate before God, Rich, Tim, Charles, it doesn't matter if a pastor, a bishop, or your friend say that you're right. God say you're reprobate. Read some more of the sweeted word of God.
All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace.
You are not silver anymore. You are reprobate in the eyes of God. I see you as brass, tin, lead, and iron. You are reprobate. You are not used for currency. Please read.
They are even the dross of silver.
You are even the dross. You are that which comes off of the silver. You are not the silver. You are the dross. You are like the slag that comes off of the metal. In other words, that's speaking of apostasy. Backsliding. How many of us have served God in our own minds? Going to church, saying the songs, did the cliches, telling people they're not supposed to judge me, etc., and don't even read God's blessed word and have the unmitigated nerve, or that's the unyielding nerve to say that I love God and don't know what his ways are or his statutes. Let me tell you one thing while I'm sitting down on my hind legs. You can't love God and not know who he is. You can have a figment of your imagination of who he is. And you can't serve God in lies and deception. Somebody said, well, I used to. The Bible says in John chapter 4 when Jesus is talking to this woman. And she said, we worship in this mountain here in Samaria in John chapter 4. You worship, but you don't know what you worship. Didn't he say it? Didn't he say you don't know what you worship? Your worship is not worth two dead flies to somebody that's hungry. He said, but what the Father is seeking, Rich, is somebody that will worship him in spirit and truth. How dare we think that we can serve God in truth and we don't even go to see what he says about himself? How dare you listen to Tim Merritt, that's my name, tell you what God say and not check up on me? So what if my voice get excited and I might use every now and then an erudite word and say a big word? Sometimes that's because those are the words that I've been reading. It doesn't make me right because I do it. What makes it right doesn't line up with God's word. And so to God, you become apostate, the very things that people say you can't do today. Like God no longer judges the family if it's reprobate. God does judge the reprobate family. And it's to purify them. But if they're not purified, they'll be done away with. Read some more of the sweeted word of God that I love so well.
Therefore, thus saith Adonai Yahweh.
Thus saith Adonai Yahweh. Do you hear me, Pop? It's not thus save your son. It's not thus say Andrina because she's reading it. It's thus saith the Lord. Do we fear that anymore? Who are we? We think that that's just for them. They are the progenitors. They are the ones that come before us so that we can understand how God is. Every family that's got dross in it and reprobate will be judged. I submit to you that if Tim, Meredith, and Andrina and their children are reprobate, we will be judged or purified by God and are purified by God. No escape. What does the Bible say? Glad you asked me, Brother Charles. You got good questions. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That's when it's over. But I'm glad you asked me, Jane, what about right now? Well, it says in 1 Peter 4:17 that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began with us, what shall the end be for those that have not bowed themselves down to the gospel of God? Read some more of the sweet word of God while I tone my voice back down like I want it. Help me now.
Because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem.
Now, when God says, behold, and you say that was for them back there, put yourself in the mind of Ezekiel. You're talking to people that don't really like you. You're talking to people that you all have been exiled from your home. Let me get you in the mindset, Jane. Let me get you in the mindset, Aunt Ruby. Here's the deal. You've been taken from your home. All your stuff is left except for what you could carry with you. You couldn't take your vehicles, and now you're in a strange country where people have different languages. You got another king. You don't have rights. You don't know if you'll ever get to see your house again. You don't know. And here somebody's over here telling you, make yourself at home over here. Don't long to get back the stuff you have. Don't long to see your families, because it's not going to happen for you. And you still don't realize that you are the ones that have been spared. You want to get back to Jerusalem. And hold this in your mind. For these people, now we're moving from us to them. These people had called Egypt the iron furnace where they were smelted and where they were purified and came out and became the people of God. Now with that mindset, listen to this verse again that Ann is reading. Come on, precious.
As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you.
Next verse.
Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof.
Next verse.
As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, Yahweh, have poured out my fury upon you.
You think that when I'm saying you, I'm talking about them, the people of Jerusalem and the people in Babylon that's in exile. You think that Jerusalem is the safe place to be. You think it's the safe place to be because the temple is there. That's the seat of worship, because the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be there, and the cherubim that covers it, and the cherubim engraved on the walls. But you've forgotten in the 8th chapter when I talked to you that you have a hole in the wall with all kind of ungodliness engraved on the wall, and that you have women there weeping for Tammuz, whose birthday is December the 25th, that people call Christmas, which is the birth of Mithra, but you got women weeping for them, and then you have other men with their face toward the east and their back toward the temple of God, and then they have prophets in there doing wickedness and ungodliness, and you think that safety is there because of those relics that I used. Why would you say they're relics that he used? Because when the purpose of God is no longer being used for a utensil, and God's purpose still needs to be met, that very thing that was supposed to once be used becomes a relic. I will say to you that when the family is reprobate, God will judge and or purify. And those that were once used for God, and they are no longer worthy to be used by God, they become a relic of what once was. Saul was once a useful king to God, but there came a time when a prophet could even intercede for him. I believe it's the 17th, it must be the 15th chapter, or the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel. And Samuel was mourning. And God said, why are you mourning for him, seeing that I rejected him? Don't be on the wrong side of God's judgment. When God is either trying to judge or purify somebody, don't be on the wrong side. Getting upset with God for the judgment that he executes, as if we have a better way of doing things than him. Let's get our mind right. We are the dependent, and he is the benefactor. So, they want to be in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is the place where he's going to blow on the furnace where the dross will melt. Do you understand the picture is that just like when they melt metal, and if you don't know how they do it, just go to Google and YouTube and type in smelting metal or separating silver from dross. And you'll be able to see when they blow that wind in there, that air, it makes it get even hotter and it's able to separate. Well, I'm going to do this to the dross, and it's going to be in Jerusalem, which is a picture of God letting fire come down on Jerusalem, burning the temples, burning the homes, killing the people, because I'm judging and or purifying. If there's a remnant there that's left, that remnant will remember that you don't play with me, you don't go and serve other idols, you don't follow the false prophets, you don't follow your false family traditions, but you stay with the word of God because I'm your daddy. The man that you call your daddy in your home is a representation of me if he's righteous. The man that's supposed to be a prophet is a representation of me if he's righteous. The man that is called a priest that is supposed to allow you to come into my presence with sacrifices is a representation of me if he lives right. But if he's ungodly, he's a relic, and you can always come to me, and if you can't get right through them, they are tools in my hands. I will judge and or purify. Read some more of the sweeted word of God. Now that we see that Jerusalem is the smelting pot. We ain't even got in it yet. We ain't even got in it yet. We ain't talked about America yet. We haven't talked about our own filth yet. We ain't talked about us being purified yet. What we are doing is painting the picture of what they were by Ezekiel, what God is saying. And I'm going to tell you what the people think. The people think that we are the good ones that's left and the bad ones were taken away. Now read, precious.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying.
God say, I ain't through. I am not through. I got some more to tell you. Ezekiel.
Son of man.
Son of man, the title that Jesus loved. Can you understand now why Jesus called himself son of man so much? Because Jerusalem was going to be being destroyed in about 40 years from the time Jesus was crucified. Yes, it was. And not only was it going to be destroyed, but you got a lot of traditions of men that actually go against the commandment of God. In other words, you teach the tradition of men that have used the scripture to fatline their pockets and make themselves look like something. And they teach by their traditions things that contradict the commandment of God. And so when I call myself son of man and say, when the son of man come, will he find faith on the earth? He's not talking about just any kind of faith. I'm worried of faith. I got faith. Faith in what? Faith in your words? Or faith in the word of God without chaser? Which one do you trust in? Help me read, Ann.
Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof.
Now this gets to be where it's really nice. Son of man, the rain hasn't cleansed this land. There's two problems with that rain. One is that there's a prophecy that you wouldn't get rain, I'll stop your crops from growing. So you can't benefit. Then the other portion of that is, you are the ones that whenever it's time, you don't get rain because of the way that you live. You've lived your life in ungodliness. You've lived your life in folly. And therefore, your land is not clean, nor do you have crops going. Read that 24 again, because 25 is going to take us to a different feel in this message.
Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation.
God has an indignation. If you have any sense of right and wrong, or if you have any sense of being violated, there should come some things that should be indignant to you. Maybe the way a child treats you, that should be subject to you. Maybe the way a husband or a wife treats you when they should give you loyalty. Maybe the way a company treats you when you've done right, but they're just going to do something. Or maybe just the way a co-worker. Or maybe things that just aren't right. Somebody borrows something and refuse to give it back and act like you didn't. But when it comes to God, you breathe his air. You exist by the upholding of the word of his power. And in the case of these people, he's done everything for you, made you a nation when you shouldn't be, showing you that all the other nations are nothing to him, and you still decided, I like the way they do it? And I've been teaching to you for hundreds of years, and I've sent you prophets to give my word, and you mock them? Yes, I'm going to judge and or purify this family. Why is that? Because you don't understand that I didn't give you rain for a reason, and I haven't cleansed you up for a reason, because I'm not just going to cleanse you up without a repentant heart. Do you hear these words? If you don't repent and change, if you don't confess that you are wrong before me and that you're still religious and you're still doing worship at the temple, you're still killing animals, but you're doing other stuff that invalidates all that you are doing, you don't understand, my indignation must come, or you will turn me into a liar such as yourself. Now take me to the conspiracy, and we're going to roll. This is like one of those songs that have a change, and you know, there's a different part that says, oh, how'd they make that change? It sounds so good. Watch God now. Watch him.
There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof.
God says, there's a planned rebellion. There's a conspiracy in the prophets. Now you have a family that's reprobate, ready to be judged, or purified. And in the family, the prophets, the ones that are supposed to teach them about me, they are planning a rebellion in the midst thereof. Read the rest of that verse, precious.
Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof.
Now let us taste this. We talked about the first part, 1 through 16, on Thursday. We talked about in judgment how they took advantage of the orphans, how they oppressed the strangers, how they took advantage of the widows. And he is saying that the prophets, you see, we live in a world today just like they did when you felt that a prophet would tell you God's word, and that if a prophet knew God's word, what that prophet could do is keep you from being destroyed, or that prophet knew enough about God that they could help you. Well, he said there's a conspiracy of the prophets. They are like a roaring lion. Where do we hear that in the New Testament? 1 Peter 5 and 8, Peter said, your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the devil, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, you may think that the devil wants to destroy you and eat you up. Yes, you do. But he's saying the prophets are doing it. When the prophets want to do it, I'm so glad that Richard's sitting here. He can go to Malachi 3 and 11 for me while we're sitting here. It's so beautiful to have somebody that's willing to help you. And it's so good that Gary can go to Matthew chapter 7 while Ann is on that part right there, and go to the 13th verse for me. We talking about we getting ready to understand, because people say, I just like the New Testament. Where do you think these motifs come from? What do you mean, motifs, Tim? Where do you think Peter gets this, that your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion? There was no New Testament for Peter. All he had to do was go back and look at what Ezekiel had to say and say, oh, this is the same thing. What does it say in Malachi 3:8-11? Rich, read.
Will a man rob God?
That's Mike. That's Malachi. I want you to go to Micah. I was right. You were right and I was wrong. Gary, go to yours, Matthew 7. And I'm just glad I know what the Word of God say, because I could have talked about that. They did that too. They did that too. It's the same problem, same people. Go to 7:13. Talk about the gates for me, Gary.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Now this is Jesus talking. Yeshua or Yahushua HaMashiach, the Messiah. This is not Tim. As a matter of fact, when Gary read it, say it again.
Enter ye in at the straight gate.
You want to be a family of God? Enter in at the straight gate. Come on.
For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Wide is the judgment, that's the gate that leads to destruction. Please read.
And many there be which go in thereat.
Come on.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Read some more, you're not through.
Because beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing.
I want you to hold that verse because I want to have you to read it again. That is from the seventh chapter. That is from the seventh chapter that the ungodly, that the Christian hearted, when I say Christian hearted, I don't mean people that love God. I mean in a pejorative sense, those that call themselves Christians that will live an ungodly, wretched life, don't like the word of God, don't order their family by God's word, just like these people that are reprobate. I submit to you that the Christian hearted call themselves carnal Christians. That's a damnable lie. And Jesus says in that seventh chapter, verse 1, don't judge, lest you be judged. And then he said, if you get the beam out of your eye, you can see clearly how to get the mote out of your brother's eye. He moves on down to this verse that Gary just read. Judge false prophets. Read it again and see if that's not what it means.
Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing.
Yes.
But inwardly they are ravening wolves.
And inwardly they are what?
They are ravening wolves.
And what did you read in that 25th verse of Ezekiel 22?
Her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey.
You have an image of a ravening wolves, and you have the imagery of a ravening lion. You have wild beasts that's coming to destroy you. And Jesus is saying, beware of those kind of prophets. Read some more, Gary K.
Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
We ought to look and see what people are teaching. Read some more. Please read some more.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit.
A good prophet cannot bring forth evil fruit. Oh, there's so much I want to read, so I'm going to quote right now so we can save some time. John 15 tells us that I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that brings forth fruit, my Father purges it or prunes it that it can bring forth more fruit. He says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, they are taken away and men gather them and burn it. Then he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I believe that's the seventh verse, ask what you will, it'll be done unto you, so shall you be my disciples. He says, it's my Father's desire that you bring forth much fruit. What fruit does he want? He wants the fruit of righteousness. He wants the fruit of his word. So when he tells you, by their fruit you shall know them, if they're productive in the cause of God, you will know them. But I need Ann to go to Jeremiah 23:9 to help us. Rich, read yours. Gary, hold yours. I'm not trying to confuse you. Rich is going to be reading from Micah chapter 8,
chapter 3, verses 8.
Go ahead and read that. 3:11.
On the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. Now hear this, heads of the house of Jacob.
Hear this, heads of the family.
And rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and twist everything that is straight, who would build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent injustice. her leaders pronounce judgment for a bride.
Her leaders, this is verse 11. I just gave you those other two verses to pull you to it. Her leaders, remember he said it was a conspiracy of the prophets? I submit to you, it's not just the prophets, it's also the priests, and it's also the heads of the families. Their leaders do what? Verse 11?
Her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe.
So they make judgment for a bribe. If you give me enough money, I'll let you slide, read.
Her priests instruct for a price.
Her priests, those that are supposed to bring you to the place that you would repent and that you would offer animal sacrifice for your own sin and see that death was a price that was paid for sin and God let you transfer that sin, picturing what God was going to do through his son, Jesus Christ, they don't do that to bring you close to God. They're getting paid. Does that sound like what we call the church today? If you pay me, you can homosex, you can murder, you can lie, you can live with your girlfriend, and as long as you can say itimosanda and give me some money or speak in tongues, you okay. Read it again, what the priests do, Rich. This is tight and it's good.
Her priests instruct for a price. And her prophets divine for money.
And they divine. Do you understand what that means? Brother Charles, there's somebody saying, I got the Spirit of the Lord, and let me speak into your life. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to prophesy something to you. I can make it up as I go. I'm saying that I'm full of the Spirit, and they divine for profit. And guess what? People love it. Read a little bit more, Rich.
Yeah. They lean on Yahweh, saying, is not Yahweh in our midst?
Mm-hmm.
Calamity will not come upon us.
What he's saying is, isn't the Lord with us? You might not hear them say it that way, Jane, but you'll hear them say, I'm the anointed. I'm speaking by the Spirit now. I got, if they King James only, I got the Holy Ghost. And therefore, the Spirit told me to tell you. But as long as I get paid, they divine for money, they judge for reward. Listen to the three things they do. See, in my computer, I can have the verbs highlighted. Judge for reward, teach for hire, divine for money, and say the Lord is among us and nothing bad can happen. Whew. What did Jeremiah feel about that in that 29th chapter? Did I? No, I probably didn't say 29. I'll go back at... Yeah, 23, and then, go to the ninth verse for me and see how it sounds.
Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets.
Jeremiah says, my heart is broken. My heart is broken because I love this family. I want God to do for them. My heart is broken because of the prophets and their conspiracy. Please read.
All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome.
I don't know what to do. I can't hardly walk right because I know what God is going to do. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you know I'm like a drunken man. I'm in fear of what God is going to do to this pot, to this furnace that he's going to do. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness.
Oh, when we get to the place that we understand that God's holiness must be fulfilled, it'll either be fulfilled when you're reprobate by judgment or purification. Family of God, don't get caught up with what people say. Get caught up in what God's word say so that you can save yourself and your family from this untoward generation. Please read some more.
For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right.
Because the prophets has a conspiracy that they decide we're going to live, we're going to do like we want to. Gary, you're still over there in Matthew chapter 7 for me? Mm-hmm. If you are, read your next verse, please, and identify so people can follow you.
Matthew 7 and 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
20 said, by your fruits you should know them. I want you to get to 21. Read.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Now, do you understand why I had Rich to read that, that the prophets do it for hire, for reward, they divine for money, and they say the Lord is with us and nothing's going to happen? Do you understand when there's a conspiracy against God back in the book of Ezekiel that this is built upon in what we call the New Testament? Now, Jesus is saying, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, or that the Lord is with us, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Read some more.
But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven.
I submit to you that the family is reprobate. Any prophet, priest, or whoever you are that breathe God's air, if you're in a conspiracy, which is rebellion against God, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven, and those that follow you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You are a ravening wolf. You are a ravening lion. You are a liar to God's people. You have not brought forth salve. You have brought destruction to God's people. You or they will not inherit the kingdom of God because you're disobedient. Read the next verse.
Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Now you have some people that say that that means that they never knew God. And I submit to you, that's for people that never knew God. But the same thing holds true for the individual that works ungodliness and unrighteousness. God, they will depart, and he will not say, I never knew you, but you will be judged by your deeds according to Revelation 21 and 8, which we're not going to read right now. But it does say the fearful, the unbelieving, the murderers, the abominable, the sorcerers, and all idolaters shall have their part in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Gary, read that 24th verse. This is what I want us to see.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man.
Whoever is a part of the family that have become dross, who have become reprobate, who know that I'm in the wicked way right now, if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you repent, you go from your evil way and you follow my righteous way. Read some more, Gary.
I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon their house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock.
You have nothing to fear in God's reign of indignation if you're walking in his goodness. You have nothing to fear on the day when God brings his judgment and his wrath upon the world. Jesus is saying that the false prophets will keep you from doing that. You'll know them by their fruit. Jesus is saying, if you forget what other people say and you stick with my word, when it comes, you'll stand. Next verse, Gary.
And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell.
Now, what I want us to understand, and I'll finish that passage, Gary. But the thing that I want us to understand in looking at this, the rain came upon all in, that's in this passage, the one that listened and the one that didn't, but the outcome was different. One is going to be preserved or purified by doing God's word, and the other one will be judged or condemned. It depends on how you hear God's word. And the Bible said when he did that, the people say he is one that taught with authority. You don't think the rain and the flood are going to come into your life? You must not understand the word of God, and you must think you're special above that which you should. And so the verse of 25 where we were in Ezekiel, because I want to see the New Testament goes on the same train. It's the same train. It's one train. The glory train. There's a conspiracy of the prophets in the midst like a roaring lion, and the Bible says that they devour souls. They take treasure, the precious things. They make widows. At this time, they were killing people. And I submit to you, people die today too for things that they do. Verse 26, please read, Ann.
Her priests have violated my law.
Now, what do we look at this? The her priest violate my law. Ready to work, Rich? Ready to work, Gary? Rich, Hosea 9 and 7, that's your job. And Malachi 2 and 7, Gary, Zephaniah 3 and 4, I'll slow it down. Hosea 9 and 7. What I'm going to do with this passage is show you how the priests they actually go and violate God's laws. That's very important for us to see. This is how they become reprobate. This is how the family become reprobate. We don't care about God's law when we preach as preachers or as those that are supposed to bring people to God. We don't care about God's law as families. Fathers don't care about teaching their children God's laws. They don't mind violating God's laws with their wives, etc. And then we don't think we're going to be judged or purified. That's a damnable thought to have it in your damnable mind. And that's a damnable lie that you're holding to. All of it would cause you to be damned by the Almighty God. And I mean that. Hosea 9 and 7 and 8. Rich, what does the word of God say by that prophet when he talks to Israel before this ever happens to Judah?
The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel know this. The prophet is a fool. The inspired man is demented. Because of the grossness of your iniquity and because your hostility is so great. Ephraim was a watchman with my God, a prophet. Yet the snare of a bird catcher is in all his ways, and there is only hostility in the house of his God.
Do you understand that the Bible is showing that this was not new? I'm going to show you that it wasn't new for the family then. The days of judgment came in 722 BC for these people. The prophet became a fool because he did not keep the fear of God. The multitude of their iniquity, it grew up so much that it made hatred of God's ways and his standards. Ephraim was supposed to be a watchman. That was Joseph's son that was preferred. When he had Jacob, or Israel, took his hand and crossed him and made the elder, the firstborn, that was Ephraim over Manasseh. Because Manasseh was the firstborn, Ephraim was preferred. The prophet has become a snare, Jane. He has become a snare, the very thing that they use to catch animals. He become a snare, and the hatred and hostility of God is because of the ones that the people in the family follow, which is a damnable thing to do, to turn your back on God. Gary, did I give you Zephaniah 3 and 4?
Yes.
Read it.
Her prophets are light and treacherous persons.
Her prophets don't mean like light to the world. We're talking about lightweight. They speak into your life. They tell you what you want to hear. And let me give you that in the New Testament. The Bible said the time has come, or the time will come in 2 Timothy. It said those people will have itching ears. And they will get them teachers to tell them what they want to hear. The prophets are light and they are treacherous. You think that the prophet is saying, this is my Bible. I have what it says I could have. Well, I don't like to preach a judgment. I just want to preach a positive message. You think he's a good prophet. You think that he's your friend. The word of God said that a light prophet is treacherous. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Gary.
Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law.
See, you would think that if they did violence to the people, that's all that God would be concerned about. But when you do violence to God's instruction, to his Torah, to his law, the collateral damage that comes from that is so bad that it puts people in the state of being dross. Just like that stuff that comes off the silver, they become apostate. And now they have to either be purified or judged. And yours is Malachi 2, 7 and 8.
For the priest's lips should keep knowledge.
A man is supposed to be a priest. All of us are supposed to be a priesthood, but there are some that have the position of teachers. And we're supposed to be leading people to a close relationship to God, as it was for them. The priest's lips should keep knowledge. A father was supposed to be like a priest in his home. Yes, he was. You weren't just supposed to go and impregnate the woman just because you had a good feeling and you found her sexy and you impregnated her, or you needed somebody to help with the cattle. That's not your job. That's not just your job to impregnate a woman. Your job is to give knowledge of God's word to your children. And if you don't, you have failed. You have failed. You have failed God. You don't like how I'm saying it? How do you think I feel? I'm a father. My lips should keep knowledge. Read some more. Let's let the thing whip me too. Come on.
Her
and they should seek the law at his mouth.
What kind of father will not seek God's instruction from his mouth? We have the word of God, Rich. We could get more of God's word in 10 minutes than many of those people live their whole life being able to get on their own until they heard the priest or the prophet. Read.
For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
But ye are departed out of the way.
We walk away from the word. We'd rather watch CSI Entertainment Tonight. We'd rather watch the news. We'd rather watch Western. We'd rather watch sports. We'd rather do this, that, anything other than getting into God's word. And our families have suffered from it. I was doing some research in my mind one day, and I was thinking of every uncle I have on both sides of my family, and I was thinking, there is not one that I know of that have traits that I want. Couldn't think of one that I would want to be like in character. And I said on both sides of my family. Why is that? Because my goal is not to be judged. I want to be purified by God. I don't want my nieces and nephews, my cousins, my uncles, my aunts to look and say, I don't have a nephew that has any character or traits that I want. See, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. At a certain age, you're no longer a child. You're looked at as an adult. I should have some ways that people could come and they could gather fruit that could benefit their life. And I shouldn't just be just a part of a family. What's that? A man can rape somebody in your family and that child will be a part of your family. So you ain't done a great big thing being a part of a family. Being a part of the family when you point them to God, that's what we're talking about. This is what he's saying. The priest, the leader, the father, he should seek instruction from God's law. Read it again, Ann, and we'll finish that part.
But ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts.
What an indictment. That's what I pulled when I started looking at the people had a conspiracy against God. It's rampant. And you make a people that's already dross or reprobate have to be judged or go through a purification process that should be a daily thing through the word, through the washing of water by the word. But then you make God have to go and pull the big guns out on you. Take me back and read 26 again, and we'll go to 27. We're back in Ezekiel 22. Thank you all for your patience and your help. But this is the kind of stuff, when you read the Bible, when you tie it all together, you begin to see God ain't playing. He's not playing, and he keeps good records, and he judges the leaders. That's my daddy back there. Everywhere where he has violated God's word in training his children, he's going to deal with him. Everywhere I've trained with my sons, God's going to deal. Everywhere where Rich has trained with his son, Charles and Gary, there's no one that's escapable. And if we know that we've done wrong, we better tighten ourselves up and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but from now on, in as much as I can, I'm going to speak your laws to the children. I'm going to speak them, and I'm going to live them. Because they're grown now. They're going to be responsible for themselves. But we still need our fathers, even when they get older. Why is that? Because God gave them. I remember one time I told my dad, I'm going to force you to do what I need from you. You're going to have to give it to me. Didn't I say it, Pop? Didn't I say it? I did. Now, I don't have enough hand to reach in there and make it happen, but I can let him know I'm still looking. You're still my dad as long as you breathe God's air. Gary's still my brother. Rich, you're still my brother. Charles, we got to do stuff for each other. Even the ungodly know their own football team. They know you can't just be out there one man. You'll be the best quarterback in the world if all of a sudden they decide we're not going to block for you because you got too much mouth. See what happens. See what happens. Everybody just let people run through. You might even end up in the hospital. How can we think, well, you know, Tim know everything. No, he doesn't know everything. I read and I pay money and I got a wife. It's like, well, are you studying, Tim? You look like you've been working too much. Why you hadn't? I ain't seen you study in a minute. What's going on? Won't you do it? Read the next verse. It's so pretty.
Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane.
Can you hold it in your mind? If we are supposed to be a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2 and 9, if leaders in that priesthood are supposed to help each other, if in that everybody has a family, so therefore a father is over the children, and he's supposed to lead his wife accordingly, do we put difference between what is holy and profane in our home? Do you ever watch something on TV and your Bibles in your mind tell you, I don't need to watch this anymore? That this is not good, they're feeding my mind something that shouldn't be fed, or do you think it's just for the children? Is there times when you watch something and say, this is offensive to me, who I am, and the only way you can watch it is to see that what they're doing is wicked, so you can condemn it, but not to enjoy it. There is a difference in watching something and finding fault with it and seeing what they're teaching and condemning it, as opposed to this is what I enjoy. God knows the difference. When you start talking about church and religion, it should have been something that was sacred and holy and set apart for God's use. But now it's just as profane as everything else. We can lie in it. We can have gambling machines in it. We can go out and we can make out with people in the assembly. We can lie and know what we're teaching is wrong. But as long as this is the tradition that we've held, we have taken the holy thing and made it profane. They did the same thing. Don't think this is just them. This is us. Please read on. And where it says neither.
Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean.
Now see, God gave them animals and told them how they're supposed to, when you're going to have your wife, if your wife is having a menstrual cycle, you don't lay with her because I said it's unclean. If there are certain bodily functions you have, you are unclean. Why should be clean and even? He was teaching them through precept that when you get to the place where I bring you, that I don't want you unclean. What makes you unclean now? Matthew 15 says that uncleanness comes from the heart, lies, adultery, fornications, etc. Those are the things that defile or make a man unclean. We don't care that we are defiled. We will slander somebody. We will uphold people in their wrong even because they're family. When do we realize that family can't help you on the day you're in the casket? You can scream, you can holler, you can cry, you can get the preacher, you can make the casket be a $20,000 casket, you can put ring on them like they did on Whitney Houston. You can build a big monument like I've seen at Westview Cemetery that go 100 feet in the air, but it doesn't bring them back. We better understand that when we go and we be defiled before our nephews, our nieces, our children, before our other brothers and sisters, we promoting wickedness, and God is watching when they do it as well as when we taught it. Read some more, Anne. And they have hid their eyes.
Hid their eyes from my Sabbaths. And I am profaned among them.
They hid their eyes from the Sabbaths that would have taught them when the Feast of First Fruits were. When they would count from there and know when the Pentecost would come. They hid their eyes from the very thing that God gave them rest to focus on me. And now what do we do? We hide our eyes from the fact that God has given us a rest as the people of God. And you know what we want to do? We want to rest from the rest. And God is not pleased. Read some more, precious.
Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls.
So in your mind, just go back and remember what Gary read. Beware of false prophets that come to you with sheep clothes. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Read some more, Anne.
To get dishonest gain.
And see, they got a reason for that. They do it to get dishonest gain. They're not really there to help you. I want to look and see how long I was talking so I can see when I want to cut off. Okay, I can give myself 10 more minutes. You all mind if I do that? I might. Oh, I love Brother Charles. That's my friend right there. Okay, let's listen to some things that I have highlighted that I wanted us to be able to hear. In 2 Peter 3 and 17, the Bible says, and Peter's talking about false prophets at this time, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, and it talks about where the world will be destroyed with the fervent heat, etc. He says, beware lest ye being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own standards. steadfastness. See, people say you can't fall from your steadfastness, but Peter said differently. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 24, and I'm going to read the fourth verse. And I think I'll be kind and have Ann go to Romans 16 and 17 to be waiting on me. It says in Matthew 24, this is Jesus talking about the end of the world. He says, Jesus answered and says, take heed that no man deceive you. That's what the prophets were doing. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. Now they can say, I am Christ, personally, and deceive many. Or they can say that he is Christ, I am Christ, and still deceive many. Do you understand what's going on here? The 11th verse of 24, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. But people say the end of the world is coming closely, but they don't want to identify anybody as a false prophet. Go figure. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if deceive the very elect. I skipped the italics. Because sometimes the italics, it going to give me the idea of the person to translate it. And I didn't want that. Because some people will be deceived. Now, and read that you had in Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Please, this is a very good passage right here.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned.
Identify those that causes contrariness to the doctrine. Because you can hear and you can learn that people say we don't want to identify those. You make notice of it. Let me have the word spelled out. Scopeo. Did you hear that, scopeo? Let me make the computer say it a little bit louder. Because sometimes I pronounce these words and I might put the wrong emphasis on it. Here we go.
Scopeo.
It means to look for, to notice, to watch out for. It lets you know to keep your eye on this. And so what we do in this particular case, you mark them. Read it.
Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And avoid them.
You don't just make all of these people that you notice giving doctrine contrary to the doctrine of Christ, telling people that they can live a reprobate life and there's no judgment, there's no purification that's going to take place. You already purified in your dirt. That is a contrary thing to the doctrine. And this is the very thing that God hated in Jeremiah. That 23rd chapter talks about it. I could have just read all through Jeremiah how he feels about the false prophets. But we're going to get to him when we get to Ezekiel 34. He's going to talk about those shepherds. We're not through with the false prophet for a long time. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Read on.
For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Fair speeches. And go to 2 Peter 2 while I talk about this. Fair speeches. Have you, anybody ever heard the word eulogize? Well, the word is, it comes from eulogia. Okay? Spelled with an E-U, just like eulogize. That means to praise. With their praising speeches, they deceive the mind of the simple. But what does Peter say would happen in the end times? I'm talking about Peter, the one that walked with Jesus. I'm talking about Peter, the one that denied him. I'm talking about the Peter that cried and then he came back and restored. I'm talking about Peter that drove the whole net of fish by himself when the other ones couldn't do it. I'm talking about Peter that was crucified upside down. What did he say would be in the last time, Andrina Merritt?
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you.
Did he say there might be? What did he say?
Shall be false teachers among you.
And what they're going to do?
Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Do we see what they'll be doing? Does that fourth verse say that they'll make merchandise of you? What does it say? Scoot down into your eyes a couple of verses. See if it's ever where they make merchandise of you with their feigned words. Because if not, I go to it in my computer. I don't tell
it's
you what.
Verse 3.
Okay. That one I want.
And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
When these greedy wolves and lions come to ravage, then I didn't tell you what that word means. It means to tear at the soft tissue. That tear and maul the soft tissue. He said with covetousness, that's dealing with greed. Same thing. And say with covetousness thou do what? Read that again. It's so pretty.
Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you.
They will make merchandise. In other words, if you have a bunch of coats, bunch of shoes, cars, jewelry, food, that's merchandise. And you trade it for what you have for money. He said, they will make merchandise of you. In other words, Rich can come to my place and sell his books and his tapes and his CDs. And I can come to his place and sell my books, my tapes and CDs. And we can circle it around and make merchandise of the people. Well, I'm not saying everybody have books and CDs and things like that are making merchandise, but I have seen it happen. I'm not going to read any more of these notes that I have on here because I think that at a certain time I can feel that we got the point. Hopefully, if we don't, we can cover it in discussion. But, and go to verse 28 of Ezekiel 20:22. It gets worse.
And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God. When the Lord God hath not spoken.
Next verse.
The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully.
Do you understand why they are reprobate? The preacher, he's supposed to build up a wall. Let me give you a good illustration that I got from a man named James Jordan. One of the things is Israel knew in the ancient world knew you build these big walls up so that people can't just come into your land. You build them up very high. You make them very thick. You can shoot people from off the top of the walls. You make the walls thick so they can't just come in. That's your protection. Well, God is saying Israel's walls have been broken. We saw that when we were in the 8th chapter. I'm sorry, the 13th chapter, I'm wrong, 13th chapter of Ezekiel, and they put whitewash on it. They didn't really put the stones and things like they should put in it. He said, they have daubed them with untempered mortar. I will submit to you that when the family of God, what we call the church, our individual family, know that we got wickedness in it. We know we got dirt. We know we got covetous. We know we got liars. We don't honor God in truth. We only honor him in word. Same thing that churches do. He said, we supposed to go in and fix it. Don't just cover it up with a prayer and a God bless you or shake the preacher's hand. Stand in line like somebody waiting to get a food stamp and you stand in line and shake his hand and think everything okay because he smiled at you with a gold tooth. Like A.J. Glenn, that's one of the people I knew used to have a gold tooth. But anyway, here's the thing. You daub them with untempered mortar, and they see vanity, and they tell lies, saying God has said so when he hasn't said so. But verse 29 says, you all are still doing your dirt. See, you got prophets, and you still do dirt. They haven't straightened you out. And the problem is, Rich, the walls are emblematic. The walls are a type and a figure of a real wall that's supposed to protect you. What is the wall that's supposed to protect you, Brother Charles? Glad you asked. It's truth. It's the truth of God's word. It's the very thing that if you hear the words and sayings of mine and you do it, it's like you built your house on a rock. Just like that rock protects your house from falling, it's on a good foundation. That same foundation is your wall. Build your life upon God's wall. Build it and you won't be reprobate. And the family that's reprobate and that want to change, then they can move God's judgment to where it's the very thing that will purify them because they will repent. The family must do it. The priest must do it because God's assessment is going to be real. It's going to be true. It's going to be just. So the people are following the leaders. The leaders steal from them. The leaders lie to them. The leaders oppress them. And they do it one to another. From the head down, Isaiah said, the whole head is sick. Read the next verse.
And I sought for a man among them.
And I sought for a man. It reminds me of Bible telling me in John chapter 4, the Father is seeking something. He's seeking someone that will serve him in spirit and truth. But even back here, I sought for a man that would what?
Should make up the head.
I sought for a man that would stop that breach in the wall. The picture of the wall going around the city. Here's the wall in your teaching. Here's the wall in your life. Here's the wall in your family. Adultery, fornication, you're oppressing people, mistreating people. You don't stand for truth in your family. You stand for family more than truth. I sought somebody in the family. Whether it's the father, whether it's the son, whether it's the nephew. I sought somebody in your church, whether it's your bishop, whether it's your pastor, whether it's a deacon, whether it's somebody. I sought for somebody that would fill that breach up. There's a gap there that can be destroyed, that can cause people to be destroyed, that they will be melted down and thrown away as reprobate instead of purified. I sought for a man that would do it. Please read, Ann.
And stand in the gap before me.
And stand in the gap, whether he gets beaten down, whether he has to set his face as a flint, but he would do it for me. What else?
For the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none.
Do you know how sad that is? I wanted to show mercy. I wanted to hold back my judgment. Just like in the days of Abraham. If we could just find 10, Father. If 10, will you save the city? Yes, I'll save the city. Abraham was trying to stand in the gap. Moses tried to stand in the gap for the people. Yes, he did. But you know what happened? And I ain't going to go to it for me to 106 Psalm, verse 23. I couldn't find a man in Jerusalem to stand in the gap. So somebody said, well, what about Jeremiah? Evidently, Jeremiah's job was to preach to get somebody to stand in the gap. Couldn't find it. Isaiah 41 and 28. Listen to what the word of God say. For beheld, there was no man amongst them. There was no counselor. That when I asked them, they could answer a word. God is talking about the things that he has done. All of those gods you have, there was nobody that could judge me. There was no God that could give me information of what I need. 59 and 16 says, and he saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation to him, and in righteousness he sustained him. He couldn't find a man to do right. And you know that the people in that time, they were destroyed. There was none, period. Let me read this one. I'm going to look at Jeremiah 5 and 1. Run ye to and fro the streets of Jerusalem. See now and seek in the broad places if you can find a man. If there be any that executed judgment that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. But see, they had a conspiracy against God, Aunt Ruby, so they couldn't get pardoned. So instead of them being purified by the truth, they have to now be purified by God thinning them out and letting there be just a remnant left. I'll read one more to you. No, I'm not even going to read. Let Ann read hers. Read yours, Ann.
Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach.
Moses stood in the breach. See, Ezekiel's not coming up with nothing new. Moses had stood in the breach, and David had this written before Ezekiel was born. And so the motif is there. Is there someone that will stand in the breach and will straighten out the wicked and separate from the wicked so that there can be a remnant by separation as opposed to God having to execute his judgment? Read some more, and it's so pretty.
To turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them.
Drop down to the 30th verse. There's another one of my friends in the Bible. I have friends in the Bible, you all. And this one of my friends, Phinehas, right here. I really like him.
Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed.
In the verse before that, does it tell what happened, or do I need to tell it? What'd you think? I'll tell it, because I can tell without thinking about it. Well, I think about it, but I don't have to think about it real hard. Children of Israel that start messing with the Midianites women, and the men were having sex with the Midianite women, God sent a plague. I'm going to start purifying. I'm executing judgment of purifying. And Phinehas saw this man come up there with the woman, and they're going to have sex in front of the congregation. And Phinehas, he didn't look for Moses, looked like. He didn't look for Aaron. He grabbed a spear and went spear to kill that man. I believe it's Numbers 24. And God said, I like Phinehas. He was zealous for the Lord. And I will give him an everlasting covenant of peace. Why is that? Because he was zealous for the Lord. God is saying, can I find one of them? Is there one of those still around? Are you one of those rich? Are you one of those, Brother Charles? I'm talking to the man today. Are you one of those, Papa Merritt? Are you one of those, Gary? Because I know Tim Merritt is trying to be one to stand in the breach. Now, does that mean women can't be one? No, it does not. But we talk about the women a lot because they'll be in the next chapter, Ahola. and Aholabah. We'll be talking about women a little next. Read that next verse. I believe it's the last one.
Therefore, have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God.
This is how this little portion of passage ends. It is not the end of the book. This is where I put the pause so that we wait till the next time to pick it up again. But in this passage, we see because the family had followed the wrong leaders and because the leaders had decided we're going to do what we want to do, when God's assessment came, instead of the reprobate changing so they could be purified, they're going to have to be destroyed so the purification can take place by getting rid of the ones that are so bad that won't repent, that all that is left we recognize and know. What it is saying is the very people in Jerusalem, you thought you were the ones that were the silver. You are the dross. You are going to get the heat of the real fire from Nebuchadnezzar. Those of you that are here in exile, you think you're not going to be judged. You will be judged if you want to continually go back there and you ignore what I have to say. What you better do is you better hear my words coming from my prophet Ezekiel so you can be purified. So after 70 years or maybe another 65 years, you can come back and have the right frame of mind that you will no longer go and eat on the mountains. You will no longer be whorish. You will no longer uphold false prophets, but you will honor my words and my laws. Fathers, you will treat your children right. Children, you will do right by your parents. Prophets, you will speak my words and my words only. Priests, you will hold my words in your mouth in high esteem. And what will happen is, in time to come, when I do send my Messiah, you will be ready for him because you'll be ready for the day of visitation. Many of them didn't, and they were not ready for the day of visitation. And the same message, if you really look closely, you will see is the message that Jesus had to teach in the New Testament church. Lastly, Paul told in the book of Acts chapter 20:28, after I depart, because many of you all know that scripture where he says in 20:28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit have made you overseers to feed the assembly of God, a church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. But Paul said, I know that after my departure shall many ravening wolves come in, and they're going to devour, and they're going to destroy, and they're going to get people to themselves to do that. I submit to you that if we want to really be the family of God, we need to really learn what God's word say for ourselves and uphold God's word and not be reprobate. And if we are reprobate, repent, 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 turn. Let him just, you'd rather be purified by God than judged by him. That goes for everybody in the family. It goes for everybody to call himself a prophet or a teacher, because God's assessment is final. Hopefully this message calls us to think. Squeeze some of this juice out of Ezekiel and learn to like it. And we can go back to that and we can see the pattern of what Jesus was saying. Father, thank you for your blessed, righteous, and holy word. I ask you to help us to realize, Lord, that from your assessment, we either a good silver or reprobate. We either those that have been reprobate that can be purified or those that are not. Whichever way we decide that we want to be, Lord, you're going to be just. Help us to have the mindset to realize that no matter what any preacher, teacher, family member say, you are the one that we have to please. And you have your instruction and your word for us to go by. I ask this in the blessed name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. And even so, amen.